sing that chorus again as Sister Regina and her group get ready for their special. The next hand you shake could be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take could be on streets of purest gold. Your next meal could be the marriage supper, and the next voice you hear could be him saying, well done.
What? Who's my mic? None of them.
Turn your mics on, people.
Okay, let's start all over. Good afternoon. No introduction necessary. All praise be to God. Lyrics by Anderson. And as you can hear, I have sinus issues, so I'm going to try to do my part. Okay, here we go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, it will shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. In your neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. While walking and talking, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
When shopping at Walmart, I'm gonna let it shine. How about Target? I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Driving down the highway, I'm gonna let it shine. driver cuts me off the road, I'm gonna let it shine. What you gonna do? You better let it shine, let it shine. And blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
I'm just going to give y'all a few minutes for them old folks that been up here singing. I'm going to give you a minute for them to catch your breath. Sister Jenny, you okay? All righty then, boy. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. I think the fan's running, I guess. I can hear it running. So Aaron's not here to adjust the temperature, but you can turn that on if you want to. I appreciate that. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. You know, we were talking about electricity today right before we closed. And I knew I knew that Elisha, Brother Elisha Negron from Ohio, he's a master electrician. I mean, he deals with hundreds of thousands of volts in a factory setting. So he sent me a note back. He sent me a Marco Polo a few minutes ago, and he said, this is the way to look at it. He said, you got all that voltage. He said, now 120 volts will shake you. He said, how many people were in the upper room? Now, he gave this one out because I thought it was 240, but he said, it's actually 277 volts will grab you and hold you. He said, 480 volts. He said, there's your body change. Because you grab 480, it will blow you out of your socks and change your body. It'll put you in a different place. But praise God for that. Maybe we need some voltage going on, you know, a little bit of power. And light, yeah. It's a dark hour, though, man. Now you go, you know, tomorrow we're going to leave. We'll go out in the world and Monday. And Michael's got a new job with Amazon, so pray for him. See how they groan and moan when you say that? Like, oh. And, you know, if you don't deliver the package right, yeah. So you better do it right the first time. But I'm glad for all these younger folks that are getting jobs. I tell when I go to the cafe every morning for breakfast before I walk down to my first job, at the post office, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to work so you don't have to. They said, you just keep paying them taxes and keep that check coming every month. So, but that's the cycle of everything going. We see the cycle even here in the church. You know, Brother Collie, Brother Darty, they used to be the young ones. Now they're the older ones. Some of us used to be the younger ones. Now we're the older ones, but we got a group of younger ones that are coming up that are really, really... to me, they're outpacing a lot of us, and I say us, as far as wanting to be involved and to hear the Word of God and be the Word of God. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And that plan that God had, the only time God had that plan to end was when the rapture takes place, and it doesn't matter then. Everybody's, you know, you're either staying here or you're leaving, one of the two. So there is a plan with an end, but what does that end do? That end just puts us into eternity where there is no beginning or no end. So it's not an end like the end of life is coming. It's an end of this that we see here now. And it takes us into a rapture. And that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking for. Brother Aaron will be doing Wednesday night service. If he doesn't see this, I'll tell him. Or let's just surprise him Wednesday. Nobody say anything. This coming Saturday at 3:00, we'll have the youth service. June, I think they got some of the food. We need some. We're gonna do some macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and slaw and stuff. So please, it's for everybody now. It's not just for the youth. So everybody come. It's a regular service, but it will be catered to the youth. As far as Sister Gabby's going to be doing stuff for the smaller ones, and then we'll get together with Brother Luis and Brother Bob, different ones for the bigger group, and have something, some kind of activity. And then that will be Brother Jack Duff. He'll be with us. Really excited about hearing him. Hadn't heard him in a long, long time, except online a few times. And then he'll do one Sunday service. We'll not have two services. That'll be our service, regular service on Sunday morning, regular with Sunday school and all that. And then now on the 24th, we know we're the ones that's going to the wedding. We want to be praying for Esther and Micah getting married in a couple of weeks on Friday at 2 o'clock. Some of us are planning to be there, so we appreciate your prayers, and we sure are going to pray for them. And there's another new cycle of life coming, so there's a group getting married now that needs prayer coming up in this tough age. Also, remember Brother Samuel Reyes will be here then the next weekend on the 26th. He will be here both services, Sunday, normal, regular service. And then also write down on your calendar, April the 7th, 8th, and 9th, that is Easter weekend. We'll have a 7 o'clock Friday night service. Brother Dutch Scott will be with us. We'll have a Saturday fellowship meeting at 3 o'clock. And that will be Brother Chris Long. And then Brother Chris Long will be with us for one service on Sunday, which will be Easter Sunday. So we covet your prayers. Pray for the meeting coming up. Pray for all these things. Pray for Brother Jack Duff as he comes and ministers to us. Invite all the youth that you know, anybody that's got youth at their church, invite them to come and be with us. So we love you with the love of the Lord. We thank you for all things that you do. Every piece that like we were talking about today, all the pieces that are missing in God's economy, they will be filled. Because God's not going to have part plan. He had a plan. The plan's going to be fulfilled. And every person that's in that plan is going to be in there. You just got to make sure you know that you know that you know that you're fulfilling your part of the plan. All right? Instead of just, as Christians, I was thinking the other day, we look at people, and I know you do, and you know people that they just have no aim or no purpose in life. Don't know where they're going. That's why they resort to alcohol, drugs, and all the different things, is because they're fulfilling a desire to do something for a God. Right? Whatever you want to call it. But listen, we have a plan. We know the God that has a plan and a purpose for us. We just got to plug ourselves. Like I said this morning, you got to plug yourself into that. And then say, God, what is it for me? And then if it's something you don't like, you got to say, hey, listen, Jesus did something he didn't like either. He said, Father, may this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Sometimes we want to go this way and we hit a snag or we hit a door or we hit something. Well, God wants you to go in another direction. All right? Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever have. Because he knows if he lets you go down, and he'll let you go down that path. He'll let you go down through there if you really, really want to. But boy, you're going to really, really mess up. So I mess up enough. I don't want to mess up intentionally. I want the will of the Lord. And that's what we need to pray for here, is the will of the Lord for everything that we do. All these brothers that we're bringing in, and all these services we have, and the stuff we're doing for the youth, and stuff we're doing for each and every one. We pray that we're building on that, and we're helping each other find your piece of the puzzle. Find your piece and your place to be. So when we realize who we are and what we're doing here, we'll be an invincible army. I want to be an invincible army. I don't want to be something that the devil just beats me around all over the place. All right? Amen? Think about that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You say, well, it will be when we get on the other side. I think Brother Brown said we're going to have it on this side, or we won't get it on the other side. There won't be another side. There'll be another side, but it won't be the side you want to go to. So let's make our decision here and know that we know that we know. We know this is the correct message of the hour. We know that it's that's what's going to change our body, is the revelation of the message of the hour. So let's just dig into that. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this afternoon. We appreciate you for all the good things that you've given us. And as we sing songs, Lord, it's just what a mighty God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have called the new birth. It's you made manifest in another form, called a bride. And we are individuals, but yet we're one unit, Lord, working together. My finger is not the same as my toe, but it's attached to the same body. And it has a function to keep my body going, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that the body of Christ will continue to build and keep going, Lord, in the admonition of the Lord. And not in the world, not look like the world, not act like the world, not be like the world. But, Lord, we'll be more like you. You gave us that promise. you gave us an unconditional covenant that you were going to have a bride and you were going to see this to the end, and you know who's going to make it and who's not, but we don't, Lord. But you're going to reveal to us. I believe you revealed to each person in a part of their life what they're doing here and what their purpose is. So I pray that that will be unfolded, Lord, and revealed to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, the ones, Lord, that are sin sick, Father, the ones that, you know, in and out of church and disappear and appear, and Lord, just have all kind of issues and problems. Lord, may they find you. May they find the pavilion that they're supposed to get in and hide, which is you. Father, just be with us in the furtherment of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Son of Man, we're on part 95. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now we've come to the place to where adding to your faith now. Virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. To temperance patience, to patience godliness. And we'll get to it today. Just have patience. But in your patience, possess ye your souls. You may be seated. And then the next thing we're going to talk about is godliness. I'll go ahead and read the scripture that we're going to kind of, you maybe want to study it for the next week or so. And without controversy. Now, how much controversy do we have, even in the message of the hour? Tons of it. But without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That you and I can understand that a world can look at their self and say, I never can be like God. But God can look at us and say, you got to be like me. So then if you got to be like me, I got to make a provision, because you're not like me from the birth. But you are like me from the new birth. So God was manifest in the flesh. Here's his plan. Manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, praise the Lord, that's me and you, believed on in the world and received up into glory. And then what did he do? He came back on the day of Pentecost, and 120 in the upper room, to start this plan of redemption. All right, now we know that Noah, Moses, the ones we were talking about today, David, they're all a part of that plan of redemption, but they are not the bride. Right. They do not get to live. If they get to live in the city, it's just going to be an honor for them. You and I, that's our home. That's our domain. That's our place to live. That's our place we're going to, and you can say that place is mine. Right. Amen? Right. Not be given to somebody else, but that place is mine. You say, how do you know? God built a wall around it. Right. God built a wall around it. Why? Keep them out that don't need to be in. You say, that sounds strange. No, it don't sound strange at all. God's always built walls. Right. Oh, yeah, tear down walls. Yeah, but the wall that God builds, right, he separates us. Right. See? You and I have walls in our house because we don't want people to know what's going on inside the house. Right? But now, the Bible says that our new house, that the walls are going to be transparent. So everybody that's walking by can see what's going on in your house, because it ain't full of sin and all these other things. It's full of goodness. But there's a group of people that's going to have to stay outside that wall of city because they didn't come to a place. They're going to get to come in and partake of the glory, but they're going to have to walk right back out of that city on the other side of those walls. All right? We'll preach on that just maybe a year from now, if the Lord willing. I want to preach on that, because there are walls, and God likes walls if he builds them. We build walls. He builds walls. That's why he built them. See, the walls of Jericho was built by a man, and God said, nope, I don't want that to happen. I'm going to destroy those. But there's a wall he built with that city that's coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for its husband. It is so adorned. It's got pearls. You can't even fathom the amount of money that's going to be inside that city that's not going to cost you one dime. Not going to cost you one dime. It's just, you know what's going to cost us? It's going to cost us living the truth. No money at all. I like Brother Brown preached a sermon, a little bitty sermon one time, said without money and without price. You can't put a price on it, but you can't spend it. There's no money that can buy that. There's no billions and billions and billions of dollars can get you inside that city. Only by the new birth, which is the freest gift you can ever get if you'll accept it. So now we're going to talk about adding to your new birth. What are we adding? We were talking about this morning. When we look at the plan of redemption, somebody had a question today, so I'm going to try to answer it and weave it into the sermon. So you got justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's taught in the Bible. That's taught by most message believers, not so much maybe the Baptist kind of goes into a little bit of that, but they're kind of once saved, always saved. You know, shake a hand, turn around. If you don't ever come back to church, if you got a letter and it's in their file, they're gonna preach your funeral and preach into heaven because you were a member in good standing, or any of the others. But as the message believers, when Brother Brown comes and preaches, he doesn't preach a new birth. He just takes the new birth that the denominational world has, and he puts it all together. Remember, he's the one. He's like the Elijah did with the altar. They had to. He repaired the altar in that Old Testament because the denominational 400 and something prophets had beat it down, had messed the whole thing up. So here goes Elijah. He puts it all back together. Well, Elijah in this day, he put it together. He put Sister Cleta had a conduct order and doctrine book. I'd not lost mine. It's just packed up somewhere. And I've been trying to get it out and find it. But that conduct order and doctrine book just tells you every doctrine and tells you everything, how to ordain deacons, how to you know, vote for pastors, how to do your job, every bit of it. Why? Brother Brown sat down one day and he preached several sermons, but then he also come down and compiled it, conduct, order, and doctrine. So that whole book, those two books, tells us exactly how to act. Thank God. Because it's not a different book than the Bible. It's telling you exactly what the Bible's saying through the mouth of a prophet. That's why we believe that God sent us a prophet. We believe that Brother Branham was a prophet. Because a prophet gets it from God and gives it to the people. He doesn't even, Sister Cleta and I were talking about, she was at some of the sermons that Brother Branham preached. But you can tell where Brother Branham says, I don't know what I just said, but it had to be the truth. I don't know what I just said. In other words, my face, my lips get numb. I get numb all over, he said. You know, remember when he's in discernment? Because Brother Brown didn't know them people. Well, he was so yielded to God. He just, in his, you know, he didn't step over like this. Inside of him, he just yielded himself to the Holy Ghost that came down upon him. And the Holy Ghost is the one that spoke because the Holy Ghost is the one that knew what he was talking about. Brother Brown would have made a horrible mistake himself if he had not yielded to the Holy Ghost. Though he be a prophet, though he be a church age messenger, though he be filled with the Holy Ghost. And like she and I were talking about, he had an anointing to preach, and he preached the Word of God, and I believe that was the mouthpiece of God. But now at the end of the sermon, what would he say? I'm waiting on him. Well, where had he been the whole sermon? He was in a different office. He was preaching the Word of God to the people. Now I'm waiting on him to anoint me, to get me totally out of the way, so that he can use my eyes and my mouth and speak to tell people their trouble. And, you know, so detailed. You know, there's a lot of people I've been watching on YouTube. There's I can't remember the guy's name, Roth or somebody like that. He goes and he analyzes Brother Branham, Jack Cole, all the different ones. And then they come back. I always come back to Brother Branham because his was so supernatural. Because, you know, even Jack Cole and the different ones, they'd say, well, somebody here's got a headache. Or somebody here's got... They didn't do... Brother Branham, he'd tell you that you went to the doctor yesterday. He told that one woman, he said, I see you sitting on your couch looking out the window having a fainting spell. Well, he is so detailed to where there's no way it can be mental telepathy, because that woman probably didn't even remember she was sitting on the couch. Don't remember that the doctor had on a red coat. Because he was, but Brother Branham was... move out of the way, Holy Ghost come down, and he would tell him exactly because he could see what was going on. Now, you and I, we're waiting on that same anointing. Not of discernment to stand up here and tell you what you're thinking right now. I just don't want to do that. The ones of you that laughed, I wonder what you were thinking. But I want the Word to be the discerner. The Word's what's going to tell us right and wrong always. It's not going to be a man. It's going to be the Word of God that's going to do it. So to make that all come to this here, we look at the Word. We put the emphasis. We know that justification's right, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we've got to go on further. We've got to go to the Word of God. Brother Branham even says faith alone won't do it. And I'll read you here in just a few minutes where Brother Branham is talking about again. He's not just all faith. You can have faith. Even Paul says you can have faith to move a mountain and have not the new birth or charity. You're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Boy, you'd think that was, you know, that was pretty good if you could move a mountain. How many of y'all ever done that? That's what I thought. So how slack are we if we consider that as the scripture that we need to take? Right? But we put emphasis on the Word of God changing me first and you first. And then all these other things are going to come. Because we're going to look at it in just a few minutes. To where if that ministry is not honed down to where it's just like Jesus' ministry, he won't and can't come on the scene. You say, no, he can't. But he will, because he knows there's a group of people that did come to that place of the honing. And what are we doing now? I mean, are we knocking big pieces off? I mean, if people get born again, yeah, they're knocking. You understand what I mean? Everybody understand what I'm saying? With the sculptor, he knocks big pieces off at first. Smoking, drinking, cussing, running around, put you whatever on it. But then the fine detail is where the real master craftsman uses his craft to make sure that the eyebrows and the eyelashes and the eyelids are in detail. Well, what does that mean? That means he has to be real close and real intimate. He's not sitting there, Brother John. He's not sitting there. We went through all those times, and we're still going through them now. We bring evangelists in. They come in with a hammer and a chisel. Hello. Brother Bob, some of them, they come in with a hammer and a chisel. And I mean, big pieces go flying. But give me just a little opportunity. If they knock the big pieces off, that I can maybe smooth, make the fingers look good and make the eyes look good and make your hair look good and all these other things for the detail part. To me, that's the Word of God that you and I are looking at today. The big pieces, like I said before, yeah, young people coming in the message, but we should be the place now where God is doing the detail work. And to me, the detail work is this made manifest in you and me. The detail work is having virtue like God, knowledge like God, temperance like God, patience like God. So Brother Brown says, what is it? The Holy Ghost bunch is honing out so that it can what? Fit with the same kind of ministry. So what are we looking for? We are looking at the same kind of ministry that Jesus had. Same identical ministry that Jesus had. Now, we saw a part of that in Brother Branham. He would stand and do like Jesus did. Jesus said, I see you, you told the truth. You've been married 5 times. And the one you're living with is not your husband. All right? So Brother Branham would almost do the same thing. He would discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. But then what happened with that gift, though? Brother Branham said, only one for a generation. So we're not looking for somebody to rise up and have the same gift Brother Branham had in that form. There's no way. Seventh angel messenger is gone, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, in the days of the voice that comes from the, as we were singing the song about the trumpet and all the different things, when I was thinking, you know, you see that brother that wrote, It Is Well With My Soul, he talks about trumpet, talks about the coming of the Lord, talks about, he was looking to that. Listen, we're fulfillment of that anointing that he felt back in the 1800s when he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. All those verses are being fulfilled and played out right now. He was looking at it because the anointing was on him, and God was helping him to pen that, or actually God was penning it himself. Who in the world would have come up with a song, The Days of Elijah? In this day, not 20 years ago, not 50 years ago, not 100 years ago, but today. The updated revelation is there's an Elijah on the scene. There was not an Elijah on the scene back then. There was an Elijah on the scene now. These are the days of Elijah. And what a revelation that is. That we can put ourselves in the Bible. not only know that Brother Brown was a prophet, but know that you're sitting under that same anointing that he was under as far as being in an eagle anointing in this seventh angel message under the messenger of Malachi 4, which we understand that's the message of Brother Branham. All right, but you and I have got a part. We can't separate ourselves and say, well, that was just all for Brother Branham and nothing for us. You and I, we've got to what? Bring it together. Poor Brother Branham says right here, look, the tree of life is growing again. Well, listen, if the tree of life is growing again, it's got to be growing in something. Amen. It's got to be growing in your earth. Yes. All right? Not going to do any good. You know, this is springtime. We're going to start planting our fruit trees. We're going to start planting this and that and the other. That's fine. But how about let's planting some Holy Ghost inside of us? How about let's planting some virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience inside of us? Amen. And let's get this thing growing. And then this morning we were talking about the seals. We'll get back to all that because see, when we get to the headstone, and I'm going to bring a little chart the next time I preach, and we'll break all that down again because, see, we're living in the age of the Son of Man, but right now, what I'm preaching to you right now is not the message of the Son of Man. It's the message of the Son of God. Because we're still in the church ages. We're still bringing what was already preached. What I'm preaching to you right now, excluding the quotes that Brother Branham verbatim quoted, Bible and then preaching or giving you a commentary of what went on in history, what we're looking at virtue-wise was back 2,000 years ago in Peter, because Peter's the one that wrote it. Peter wrote it because that's what he was getting into. That's what he was. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. So I'm not preaching something old, but I am preaching something that's already been preached. So that's the Son of God revelation, and that's going to get you the new birth. It's going to make you a powerhouse. It's going to make you do these things. It'll make you live better. You know, shine your light in Walmart. Not shine your other things in Walmart. A lot of people shine other things in Walmart. But it'll make you act different. But that's not the headstone. That's not the message of the Son of Man. The message of the Son of Man is a message that never hit the earth until now, like it was 2,000 years ago, because that quote I just gave you right here. The Holy Ghost bunch honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry. Look, it's not the ministry of the church ages, the ministry he had when he went away. That's 2,000 years ago. That's the same ministry he had. That when he comes back, he's here. Amen. When he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in the rapture. Who's the whole thing? You, me. All right. Where the justified, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life is growing again. That's what we've got to believe, that we're part of it. We're not looking to see it come. We are living it today. And let's not miss our day of visitation. Right. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Right. Nothing. Feelings, emotions. Yeah, that's all good. But you can get sure tied up in all that. But when you become the Word made flesh, you look at Jesus. Jesus never screamed. Jesus never hollered. He had authority and power because he had all these virtues. He didn't have them working in him. He was them. Right, yeah. And that's the same way with me and you. We got to have these virtues. And they're a requirement for us to have. Right. We are made partakers of his holiness. We in his image, we are living images of a living God. Now listen, when Jesus walks up to a mirror and looks in the mirror, he sees who? Himself. Right? When you walk up in front of the mirror, if you're going to look like the living God, you're going to look like Jesus Christ. You say, that's weird. No, it's not weird. That's what he just said right here. We are living images because God gave us a mandate back in the eternities in Genesis 1:26. He said, let us make man in our own what? Image. And our own likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and everything that creepeth and runneth all and walketh all over the earth. We are living images of a living God, then dead to self, raised with him, Now listen to this. Oh, listen to this. His word made flesh again in us. Oh, Brother Neville, what is it? Not the mythical, imaginary God sitting out there, but the living God. What is the living God? The word in you makes itself real. The word in you, not the word in here. Not the millions of translations, not the different doctrines, but the word in you. He said, glory to God. I know you think I'm a holy roller. It was hard for them people to swallow some of that. But the word of God, which is God, is made flesh in you. Why? You're seated in heavenly places. Triumph over all things in Christ Jesus. Well, listen, we got to get out of that outer court. You got to get into the inner court, in the Holy of Holies. You stay in the outer court, and you're going to have bad days and good days. Sunny days and rainy days. But see, if you've already been into the inner court, there's one thing for sure. If you have to come back out, you know how to handle it a lot better than you did when you were standing out here when you first walked into the court. I hope we see that. I hope we see that we're going to have bad days and good days. I'm not saying they alleviate themselves, but it helps because you got to what? Overcome them. Some people can't overcome their bad days. They just have them in a row. Quit having them in a row. It's your fault if you do. God's not going to keep you in that funk that you're in. You keep yourself in it. That's because negative confession. I can't this and I can't that. Remember, God cannot deal with unconfession. He don't know how to do that. For a negative confession, he can't deal with it. And if you keep it inside of you, he can't deal with it either because you got to make profession. You got to profess what you're believing inside of you. All right? As we go through this statue of perfect man, it's not just to say, well, here's virtue, Donnie. Now, here, this is all you need. All you need for virtue here. There you go. That's it. No, it's everything. It's this whole building. It's this whole town, whole community, whole universe. So we can preach on justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. Never get away from one God. Never get away from the seals. Never get away from anything because that's the plan of redemption. So that's what we're trying to speak on today is getting on up this statue. But we can't do it while we're still down here. Deep calls into the deep. There was another question today somebody asked. You got to remember, there are three kinds of believers in a church. All right, there's the full believer, there's the mate believer, and there's the unbeliever. All right, now that's what the prophet of God said. So we have to deal with that. And as ministers, that's like Brother Dale's always, you know, he's kind of. I asked him one time, I said, "How do you deal with these people?" He said, "Well, I just." Pretty much, he didn't say this exact words, but he said, I just preach that they're all good. And then they got to decide whether they're bad or not. Because I can't keep saying, well, you're bad. No, you decide whether you're bad or not. All right? Because I believe we've had the Word of God preached to us, and like I told you several times, and I'll tell you again, we've had the revelation of the message of the hour. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Are we setting it, or you put it under our rear end and we sit down on it, or are we using it? Using it against the devil, because the only thing that the use Jesus had all kind of power. When the devil walked up to him and gave him three different things to tempt him with, what did he do? He said, "It is written." How many times when we get into an issue and we say, "Lord, didn't you say," or either say, "Satan, it is written right here in the Bible, I'm going to resist you and you got to flee from me." You know what? That's too simple. We want to do something. We want to get our special book out or our special tape or read our special sermon or watch our special preacher on the internet. Well, praise the Lord anyway. But there's true believers, mate believers, and unbelievers. Let's just cover that just for a minute. Because the question was like coming to church, you know, the desire, the deep that calls to the deep. I'll promise you one thing's for sure. According to the Word of God, a believer will always be in church. Amen. always. Everybody with me? A made believer comes because I'm going to call them something. I'm going to call them something else if they don't. That's a made believer. And I say I, whoever. I'm not the only one preaching on coming to church. Everybody preaches on coming to church because you know what? A true believer will come to church. So the made believers say exactly that. It's a make believer. They make believe that they believe in what you think that they're believing. But an unbeliever just don't come to church. They just don't believe that it's doing them any good. So they stay out of church. So that's an unbeliever. So you got your true believers, which will always come to church. Then you've got your make believers, which will come every once in a while. All right? Then you got the ones that just are unbelievers, and that's just why they're called unbelievers. They don't believe that the Bible's right. They don't believe that every promise is for them. They don't believe that paying tithes will pour out a gift from heaven from God that you can't contain. They don't believe that coming to church is important. So they're unbelievers. And who made them that? They did. All right? But we need to, and there's no way that we can say, well, Michael's a believer and June's an unbeliever and this one's a make believer. That's not for, I don't stand here and judge. Dad doesn't either. I don't think another minister stand here and just judge. I'm going to tell him, Lily. We had supper with him last night and she just has a hard time getting up and coming to church. She just has a hard time getting here early. So, but she was saying, she says, I just know every time you say that, said, I feel this finger right here between my eyes. It's a bullet hole. Not my finger. But do you feel that way when the preacher's preaching to you about anything? I'm not talking about just coming to church, anything. I do. But see, Brother Dale, when he hit me, when he was preaching all the time, he didn't just hit me between the eyes. My head hit the ground. Went rolling. I had to, you know, like a bowling ball that went awry. I had to pick that bowling ball up and stick it back on top of my head. You know why, though? Because there's something inside of me that wants to do better. Because an unbeliever said, I really don't care what you say, preacher. I ain't coming to church. That's an unbeliever. All right, but a true believer has got a desire or a deep that calls out that says, hey, I got to do better. Not that I got to, I want to do better. Listen, I want God to be able to fulfill his promise. If he said I'll pour out a blessing on you you can't contain, Brother John, I'm going to make sure my tithe gets paid first. Amen. He tells us, forsake not assembling yourself together. Brother Brown, direct quote, Brother Brown said, you can't wait till those doors open to come in fellowship. Not with each other, but with God. Okay? And then he does tell us to be there 30 minutes before the service starts so that we can worship and get clean. Clean yourself up. You know, get all that stuff pushed away from you. And listen to the song service and pray. There is something behind what Brother Brown tells us. If you look in that Conduct, Order, and Doctrine book, I'm just going to preach a little bit. You look in that Conduct, Order, and Doctrine book, Brother Brown didn't put that in there just because it was his thought or idea. Right. All of it was biblical. He took things that maybe we think, well, maybe that's not too important, but Brother Brown would bring it in and said, no, this is important. And this is where you need to place it. That's what a true prophet does. He places, he takes it like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, he throws the pieces out all over the house. That's what man's done with the Word of God. They just throw the pieces all over the house. And then Brother Branham, by the anointing of God, not by his own anointing, but by the anointing of God, he takes and puts each piece together. This is where this has got to go. And this is, we were talking about last night. They won't ever invite me and June back over again. But Lily and we were talking about, she's like me in the way that, you know, Mom always said, she was always one that she would say, you're going to do it because I told you to do it. Right? Because I'm the mama or I'm the daddy. Well, I want to know why. Tell me why I got to do that. Why? Because I said so. No, well, same thing with God. Now, he's that way in a way, but he wants to tell you why. He's a loving God. That's why there's not just Ten Commandments written in this Bible. That's why there's a lot of this stuff in the Bible. And all the in-between stuff is to show us why he said, no, you can't do this. Why he said, because if you take the forsake the assembling of the self together, you can just say, well, that's what Paul said, or that's what Brother Brown said. Well, it's in the Bible. If God was, if it was important enough for him to put in the Bible, it's important for us to reap the benefits from it. And that's our issue, folks. I'm telling you. I can tell people that don't pay tithes. I can tell people don't come to church all the time. You fight and struggle all the time. There's a problem somewhere. There's an issue. There's a blah, 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 blah. Just whatever you want to put in there. You're not settled. Well, I don't believe. You've become an unbeliever. I don't believe I have to do that. Well, okay, then you're in that unbelieving part. But you see how this is? We shouldn't be talking about this far up the road, but we do. We have to. Because it reminds us and it keeps us from being slack. Because Satan would love for us to just be slack. He's a slacker to himself, and he just wants us to be slack. But have you ever had a... back to Lily and Zach. Lily was... it was good food. Probably never get it again, but that was good. We'll invite you to our house next time, and then you can talk about us. You can get up here and talk about us, okay? I'm not talking to you, Zach. I'm talking to Lily. Yeah. But Lily was, and Lily was telling a story about how that, you know, her aunt, she had a boyfriend in the past, and that she was really was hurt by him, and she was, you know, almost turning away from the message, right? Almost turning away from the message because of the hurt and the pain. But she said, then I saw Zach. And let me tell you about, I'm going to give you a star now, Zach. What did she see?
That's right.
She didn't see Zach Black. She saw somebody that treated her different, acted like Christ around her. And when there was an issue, what did Zach say, Lily? Let's pray. Yeah. Let's read our Bible together. Amen. The Lord brought you back through Zach. And then you know what? You got to marry him. What a bonus. Praise the Lord. But that's the way it works with God. When there's a real true courtship, that's the same as you and God getting to know each other. That's the same as getting married and becoming a new Christian and not knowing everything. But what happened with us? Our husband got us out of all the junk that we were fixing to get in. We were fixing to turn away. Right? But we saw something different. Saw something different. And there was a what? There was something inside. See, Lily didn't know. As Lily was walking through the issues that she had, she didn't know that there was a Zach there. But when Zach came in front of her, I'm making a point here, but when Zach came in front of her, and I think it, Josiah was the one that kind of put them together and they saw each other's picture and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, make you sick. But when you see that, that's the same way it was with the Lord. I mean, there's a desire to do right. There's a desire to love something inside of you, but you don't know exactly what its name is. But then when that person is put in front of you, oh, that's why. Oh, that's why I love him so much. He's so cute. He's so sweet. He treats me good. Well, isn't that the way it should be with the Lord? Have you ever felt you could take that and transfer that to the feeling you have with God, of God? Because he's your husband. He's your lover. Right? We're supposed to love him more than we love our spouse. But that's a real good analogy that there's a deep sitting there that's called Jesus Christ, the life of Christ. We just don't know it. We go through justification, sanctification. But boy, when we come into the intimacy of the new birth, we get to know him that much more. We get to live with him. We get to be with him. We get to talk to him. I know if this is boring you, then you ain't born again. But that deep is calling to a deep that was inside of you. Yeah, we know that it wasn't some seed laying there that was eternal. We know it's not that. But there was something in man that wanted to love a God. Remember, didn't Brother Brown say? He put that desire in you to worship and love something. Right? So you just didn't know his name yet. You didn't know his name was that black, did you? But oh boy, when you did. One more time. She got love sick and didn't want to be healed. They're just the cutest couple. But you know, I want the bride and Christ to be the same way. The cutest couple that ever lived. Knows each other intimately. Knows each other in their, like I said, the deepest call. When that deep calls, there's a deep to respond. So Lily had a deep for a good Christian man. You know what? There he was. There was the deep to respond, the part to respond to that deep call that she had a desire, that she wanted to have a boyfriend and she wanted to have a husband. That was our desire. Now, that's the same way with me and you. Do you have that? Because Brother Brown said, look, before there can be a deep, there has to be a deep to respond to it. So there had to be a Zach Black here. Oh, listen, we ain't put here just for nothing. I'm telling you, even in the natural. You better thank God if you got a godly wife or a godly husband. Some can't say that. Before there can be a deep call, there had to be a deep to respond. So listen, before we started this series on the Statue of Perfect Man, or even before Brother Branham started this series on the Statue of Perfect Man, there was something laying there in the Word of God to give it to us. To give us that desire. If you don't have that desire, you need to pray for that. Why do you not want to be closer to God? Why do you not want to be closer to your mate? Why do you not want to be closer to your lover? As you people a few years ago who probably were sinners, maybe you were in some formal church that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you heard the message. There was something in there called out for what? More of God. Not just God, more of God. To me, this is more of God. You might have been living in a justified state before God, but you wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you hungered for it. I want to ask you a question, little church. Have you ever just hungered for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I did, because I knew I didn't have it. And I knew how I was supposed to act when I did get it. Because I was taught well, so I had a background. You've got a background. You can't say I don't know how to act. It's been explained over and over again in detail how it's supposed to make you act. But you wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you hungered for it. Now, the very reason that there is a Holy Spirit is because you were hungering for it. The very reason you want to be a better, have more knowledge of God, or more temperance, or more patience, is because there's more to get. Amen? There's more to get. But he's going to put us in an evil age. He's going to put us in the worst time. He's going to put us in the... Brother Michael, he's putting us in the worst time there ever was. But now remember, the Wright brothers didn't go up in the first rocket. Everybody understand what I'm talking? Some of you older people know. Google it. Who the Wright brothers are. The Wright brothers are the first one that I think Joyce was there with them in the plane. About 1917. No, it was around 1900. They wanted to build a flying machine. So they put together this piece of wood and these pedals and this turning thing. And they go to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And they get on this big bluff. You know, flat place, and then here's a real place that sinks way down. And they decide that man can fly if they can just put everything together just right. So guess what they did? They Orville and Wilbur, they're one's pushing and the other one's, you know, chugging along. And here they go, and man, I think the first flight only lasted a couple of minutes before they crash landed. That was a beginning. That was you wanting more of God. God put you in a vehicle. And you, and that was, vehicle was okay. Because out of that came what? Came the planes with the dual, you know, the ones in 1917 during the war. Then by the time the next war came up, they had an airplane that could shoot guns and fly 600 miles an hour. All right? Orville and Wilbur weren't on that one. Then you come up to now where they're putting them in rockets now and sending them places and bringing the same rocket back. That used to not be when we were growing up. They wasted billions of dollars when we were growing up because you put the big rocket up, this one fell over here and went into the water, and this one they needed for so much oxygen and so much power to do this. You understand what I'm saying? That's the same way we are in the Word of God. What if Orville and Wilbur would have said, we can't fly? Or took them two and transported them into 2023 and sent them over to Elon Musk, and they said, we want to fly that thing. Disaster. So they had to grow. That's why you and I, we had to grow. And God put us in the worst time. But I believe He saved the best for last. He put us in the worst time for a purpose. To prove what? To prove to Satan that we can get it done. Amen. That we cannot just fly 20 or 30 feet. That we can fly. Talk about where that came from in 1900. I don't know what year it was. Maybe 1906 or whatever it was. Somewhere in there. where that was just a piece of paper. To where now we get in them. And I can fly from here to the Philippines. Have you ever just fathomed how man took one piece of equipment that held one person 100 years ago, right? 100 and something years ago. And then now we can fly from here to the Philippines with 450 people on board, have a double decker with thousands of pounds of luggage underneath, thousands of pounds. They fed us 3 meals a day for 400 and some people. So that's how many meals they had to store in that airplane, Brother John. Then they had to put enough fuel to keep me in the air for 19 hours. And the engines, you know, there's several of them, but they're only about that big around. But they got so much force. Why? Technology. Now, if man has progressed to that group, to that part, what about God? That's why He had to send an astronaut in the end time called Brother Brown that could take us up and that we could handle the what? Brother Brown said we are pressurized for this job. You and I are pressurized for what's going on today. We may think, and like I said before, quit looking at the mixed multitude. Not everybody is Israel. Not everybody is bride. Listen, I'm not going to separate them. Brother Dale's not going to separate them. Any of the brothers are not going to separate them. You separate yourself. As I was telling Sister Regina, Noah preached 120 years. And God had him build a boat. Stood at the door, the prophet said, and preached. I'll read it if I get to it. I may not get to it. Preached 120 years standing at the door of the ark. And only 8 people went in. But I'll promise you, there was a congregation of thousands standing around Noah listening to what he had to say that never made it. God is a separator, folks. We can soft soap this thing, and you can pet your babies, and you can pet your wife, and you can pet your husband all you want to. There's a day, Brother Ram said, there's a day coming when God's going to shut that door, and then whatever decision you made, you're going to deal with it, whether you're outside or inside. I've always... You know, God shut the door. Noah didn't. God shut the door. So Noah didn't say, well, now it's time for me to shut the door. No, God just said, get in the ark. Today I'm shutting the door. He didn't give him a heads up. He'd been given 120 years a heads up. And when he shut that door, remember it was pitched inside and out with tar. I'll promise you, when that water started coming up and the fountains of the deep started opening up and California sinks, everybody with me? There was nail prints from people trying to crawl up that ark. Didn't happen. They didn't get in God's provided way. They didn't go through the door. Think about that. virtue, knowledge, temperance. Now we're at temperance. Temperance is self-control. We talked about it a little bit this morning. It's mastering our desires and passions, and we don't have that. That's just not sexual. Okay, come on, people. We have desires for other things that we passions that we. Like I said before, it's real strange to me. Hold on. I'm on my box now. It's real strange to me how that you ladies can shop all day. All day. Hours. And never go to sleep. Make sure you're on time. And be happy while you're shopping. Brother John shaking his head. And be real ecstatic when you come home with deals. You spent how long to get them deals? Did you take a nap? Well, no, it was so exciting. We had some, did you go to the bathroom? No, I just got so caught up in it, I didn't go to the bathroom for 4 or 5 hours. Can't sit in here for an hour and a half. Didn't watch a movie for 3 hours and never move. And be happy about it. By your words and your actions, you will be justified. And by your words and your actions, you will be condemned. We used to go to football games and we'd sit there and watch the Georgia Bulldogs play. Never move. Never move a muscle. Be just as happy. Jump up and down, shout and scream. I'd rather do this now. Amen. Self-control. The virtue of one who masters. Look, masters his desires. Listen, it's all right to shop. That's saying one thing against it. All you sisters are like, whoa. No, do shop all you want to. But don't shop so much till you shop on Saturday and then Sunday you don't come to church. Hello, somebody. Regina, keep smiling. You're good. You're good back there. But that's what your desire and your passion is. What is your desire? But you master it or control it. Or look, curb it. Restraining. Controlling oneself. Temperate. Continent. Brother Bram said temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol. All right, it means what? Holy Spirit temperance is what? Controlling your temper. Not flying off when everybody speaks, somebody, when a preacher tells you you need to be in church. Because if you don't come, that crosses you. Every time you say something about, even when we're, you talk to somebody out in the world. Brother Donnie's done it. You talk to somebody and you're talking to this good Baptist guy and you're talking to him about the Lord. The Lord's great. He died on the cross and he come to save us. And Brother Donnie says, now is that three of them or one of them? Yeah, which one of them? What are you talking about? He gets their attention and their righteous indignation. Your daddy was the best of it. But what he was, he's telling them the truth. And that truth wasn't in them. There was a part truth. But it wasn't all the truth. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But do they believe he's one God? Or they believe he's the second person of the Trinity? Boy, a lot of us are going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? Then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. Yes, sir. Temperance is how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Somebody says you bunch of holy rollers. Don't jump up and down and roll your sleeve up now, but talk with godly love, temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be? The congregation says. Amen. Amen. When you're riled up, rile not back. Let him be your example. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got no, you can't add that because it won't add. It won't vulcanize. Can't take rubber and vulcanize it to iron. Same kind of Holy Ghost temperance that he had, then it will vulcanize with him. You've added it too. Let's just keep going on. When you can really have sweetness in your heart, forgive every person, hold your peace, let it be gone. I mean, can we do that? I mean, I know as a human being and as we struggle through this, and it is a struggle, we struggle through this, it's contrary to all of our nature that we were grown up with. When you were a little boy, what was your nature? do it to me, I'll do it to you. And if I can, I'll do it to you worse than you did it to me. All right? We used to, you know, used the golden rule used to be do unto others as you do, they do unto you. Well, the golden rule we had was to do it to others and run real fast. But that's the way it was, human nature. We always want to get back at the person that does us wrong. Well, get quiet, would you? But it's exactly what you grew up with. But when you can really, with sweetness in your heart, forgive every man, hold your peace, let it be gone, then it will vulcanize. You can add that to your faith. All right? In vulcanization, y'all know it can't be reversed. Because once God hit, I want to ask you a question. Everybody sitting here today is in some form of the new birth, may I say. Either in justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. Some are way up the pyramid. Some are in different sections. And some of us are struggling. A lot of us are, you know, worried that we can't do this or this is going to be really hard. But have you, since we've been starting this, though, has something come to your attention that hadn't come to it before? Because, see, that's the way I feel that God works with me. I don't know about you. But I'd be sitting there, and when my growth would happen, right there where Brother Donnie's sitting, that's where I sat the whole time when Brother Dale was preaching. Well, he would bring things out, and I would have that moment of, number one, I need to work on that. Or number two, thank you, Lord, because that part of me is gone. See, that's what we need to hone in on. Either one, both, is to have I got better with this or have I got worse with this? Have I got better? Has people been able to talk to me more and I have more knowledge, not in the knowledge of the world, but knowledge of the Word of God? Our virtue. Virtue is power, strength. Listen, and I know we have our little idiosyncrasies. We have our little things that my whole thing is grates your cheese. Some people just grate my cheese. Esther. Some people just grate my cheese. I just called your name to say that I was not talking to you, okay? Alrighty then. But still, that's human nature. But can you, by your Christian experience, push that aside? And not tolerate people. But love them so much you want to be around them. See, as a sinner, I didn't want to be around my dad because there was condemnation there. Right? I mean, you felt it. I felt we all did. Your daddy. Whew. Brother Tom, you know, it was one of them where you went way around. You went 285 to get around Brother Tom because you knew what was going to happen. He wasn't going to harass you. He was just going to tell you the truth. And I didn't want the truth at that time. Because remember, the Bible says the truth wasn't in me. But there was a time when it's like he said before. He said, you're going. You're coming. You're coming. But see, the virtue that was being put forth from him and from Brother Dale and different ones, that I didn't want to be around them because I didn't have that same virtue. But now that I have that same virtue, that I'm trying to do better, trying to know that God is in Brother Dale, different ones, that's why I have, listen, Chris Long and all those people, they're not just my friends. We feed off each other. And I hope it's good. Right? Because I feel that Chris has virtue. Brother Dutch Scott has virtue. Brother Altig has virtue. So I want to draw strength off of that. I don't want to shun them and not be around them. Because whatever's inside of them is supposed to be in me. And we're supposed to what? Then that's virtue. That is strength. That has been able to draw strength. You sisters, some of you go through issues and problems, and some of you have already been through them. Right, yeah. All right? Yeah. Like I said before, are you going to go talk to the guy at the convenience store about your salvation? No. You're going to find a sister in the church. You're going to find somebody to talk to that may, and this is where one thing we've got to see, that all of us are not strong. All of us are just not strong at the same level. Right? We're all at different, even men and sisters, we're all strong in certain points. But let's start, look, compacting. Let's start putting that together, though, not separating it apart. Let's start putting it together and feed off of each other. And you'll feel, listen, you'll know real quick whether it's good food or bad food. If that's what your desire is to have good food. I know, like, look at Sister Trudy, there, Trudy McMillan. She's 85 years old. She's one of the oldest ones in the building. She drove 4 hours every service. I'm getting there. I'm preaching. 4 hours. I'm going to hand you your crown. 4 hours every service. Every service. Does that, from North Carolina. Now, that means you had to leave it like, didn't you leave it like 5 o'clock in the morning? 6 in the morning. Some of y'all were still catching your Z's at 8 o'clock this morning. Just because you told me that's when you're going to wake up. Right? Well, see, she's already got ready. Now, that's, she's got to get ready. Then she's got to get in the car. Then she's got to drive 4 hours. 85. To come where? Here. And not be here 30 minutes late. Be here on time. She's 85. God's give her a long time. Gave her a good life, long life. He's honored what she did. But where did she draw virtue? She didn't draw virtue. And I'm not saying anything about anybody up in North Carolina where she lived. Where did she draw virtue from? She draw virtue from the ministry of Brother Dale. She'll tell you that. Okay? So then that desire, that deep, drew her here. That deep. Not a deep of anything else. That deep. She wanted more deep teaching. She wanted more word. Then she was getting where she was at. Well, she discerned then that she was, it didn't matter the 4 hours that she drove one way. Because obviously, folks, if she drove 4 hours down here, she's got to drive four back. It wasn't a magical thing. You drive 4 hours, you flew back. How many times, Sister Trudy, how many times did you really break down on the side of the road? I remember one time you finally, the car blew up. It had like 600 million thousand miles on it. Buy a Volvo. We have one. It'll get you where you're going. You didn't have a flat tire, I don't think, at all, did you? No. Hold on, people. How many years was that? 20 years? At least 20 years. Okay, let's just say 20 years. How many of y'all been 20 years without a flat tire? Oh, but you didn't drive 200 and 20 miles one way every Sunday on those set of tires in that car with that motor in that car. And we live 10 minutes from church. I'm not going there. Y'all just know what I'm talking about. But you know what? She'll rise up and condemn this nation. She'll condemn some of you for the desire that she had because she drew virtue. I mean, listen, think about it. 20 years, 220 miles, one way, 220 back, every Sunday. And have no car problems, but one time the poor old thing finally kicked up and the motor blew. Didn't break down a time on the side of the road. Isn't that kind of odd? Isn't that kind of almost miraculous? Isn't that kind of almost like the Lord Jesus was taking care of her? Oh, she was never alone either. Yeah, you had a pilot with you. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to shame you. I'm letting her do it. But she got the desire of her heart. She's become a stronger Christian because of it. Miraculously, like I said before, you ask a truck driver. If he's driven 440 miles just in one day, one day and not had trouble with his car, truck, whatever. And she had none except the one, like I said, one time the motor blew up. Had like 300 and something thousand miles on it. Finally, it gave out. Listen, we still live in this world. Things give out, all right? But look at the protection, because she did what? God honored her faith. God honored that she wanted more of God. She, that deep call came from right here. Came from this ministry here. And then I believe that she asked some questions that most preachers couldn't answer. Right? She got knowledge. At 85. You kids. That's where you ought to get a lot of your knowledge from. You ought not get it from somebody your same age. Talk to somebody older. Because they've been there, done that, drove the miles, been hurt, been pushed, been pulled, scarred, not wanting you to be scarred. Be scarred. Well, I don't know why. Okay. I just want us to feel this. We're not feeling these virtues. We're just talking about them. They're on a piece of paper. Something that Brother Dale says you need to do. That's not what it ought to be. It ought to be where you live it. It ought to be to where I can point to Sister Trudy and say, she lived it. Amen. Brother Dale, he lived it. I wanted what he was living. I didn't want to be like Daddy. I can't be like Dad. Don't y'all ever think I'll be like him. He's an individual as far as a human. But I want what he had, because you know what? I wanted to be able to act the way that he acted. All them guys in General Motors, they'll tell you, Dad didn't act no different here than he did down there. And that's what they saw. Can they see that in me and you, in our job, workplace, and all that? Well, praise the Lord. From whom the whole body fitly joined. See, that's what the shaking is. This church needs to be shook. All of us need to be shook. Because you know what shaking does? Shaking will get you compacted. It'll get you where all the air comes out of that. The whole body fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Have you ever looked at the body of different things? I may not get to all this, but this is good enough for me. You know, we as human beings, our body is built to stand upright. Everybody with me? Our body's not built to crawl. Now, we start crawling, but our body's made to stand upright. All of our... Can you imagine how much pressure is on your ankle bones right now? Especially mine. You don't have to laugh, you skinny people. Godly jealousy. But really, but God made those things just right to where they'll handle your weight. And if you even move over to this side or move over to this side, you're still standing up. Your toe muscles ain't much bigger than this right here, than a pencil. But that's your structure that keeps you standing upright. Wow. And you take something like a deer. A deer doesn't, see, we do like this. A deer's reverse. His knees go down first. So you know what God did? God gave him some really strong ham muscles. That he springs up when something comes, like when you scare a deer. He don't get up like we do. He gets up from the back first, and then when he does, he springs forward because his arms, see, we can't even do that because his elbows bend the other direction. But he was made for that. That was made for him to be in flight real fast, to get out of the way, to get out of the danger. And you know, for one thing, you know how a deer jumps and can jump like 8-10 feet? And I mean, they're jumping, and I mean, it don't bother them a bit. Do you know their front legs are not even attached to their skeletal body? Right, bro? You skin a deer out and you cut his arms off, all you do is cut the meat off and you're done. He is like, see, we're connected, all of our skeletons, we're connected together. But a deer's not, because if it was, he'd break his shoulder every time he'd jump. So God made him with shock absorbers to where his bones would never break. Doesn't matter how much pressure he puts on it while he jumps and jumps away from danger. What are you saying, Brother Wade? God built this body right. God's going to build his body of believers right. He's going to have the right kind of people. Doesn't matter if that little bone, you know, they always say if you get your big toe cut off that you lose your balance. That thing ain't but about, well, some of you are way bigger than that, but your big toe's only about like this. But if you get cut it off, it affects your whole body, affects your whole balance. Same way with me and you. When some of y'all are not in church, when some of y'all are going through struggles, it hurts the whole body. It hurts. It hurts, Brother Dale, and the different ministers not having to get on to you for the things you do. It hurts us. It's not something we're not sadists. We don't love it. We hate it. Because we know the devil's involved. And we always don't like that guy. But we love the body of Christ, which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, what? Edifying it in love. That word compacted is, as we were talking about this morning, to knit together. To cause to do that word right there, which is joined together, put together, unite, or knit together in affection. To cause a person to unite with one in a conclusion or come to the same opinion. To prove, demonstrate, to teach, and instruct. That's what we've been doing. We've been teaching you to tolerate the devil. He's going to be there. Temperance is self-control. If you didn't have a contrast, there would be no temperance. Think about that. Because why would you need temperance if it was all God? You need temperance because there's a devil there. And it's opposition. Now, I know sometimes we get mad at ourselves, but boy, how many times you get mad at yourself or get mad at somebody else? Oh, yeah. It's always somebody else's fault. And it's his problem or hers. They started it. They caused me to get mad. No, they did not cause you to get mad. You caused yourself to get mad. But Lord, help me with self-control. Me, you, and all of us. To control the things that we can control. And if you can't control it, guess what? Give it to God. Hannah's quitting smoking, and I appreciate all of you on WhatsApp that are praying for her. That finally she's come to a place to where she might be sick and tired of being sick and tired. All right? But she had to come to a place that she didn't want to do that anymore. But I'm telling you, it's been hell on wheels. She's had diarrhea. She's been throwing up. She can't eat. She can't sleep. Why? Her body was so used to that. And that demon of smoking was just so happy. He loves for you. And Hannah said yesterday, no, day before yesterday, she was sitting eating. And I said, how you doing? I walked by and said, how you doing? And I just looked at her like that. She had food all in her mouth. She said, this is good. She said, I can taste my food now. Right? Some of you that smoked, you know that. It kills your taste buds. Why would you want to smoke? I like to eat and taste my food. But she said, man, that's good. So you look and you see that even though I know there's something calling inside of her, but she's not a Christian, but there is a something for her wanting to do better. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Even the little things you do, even though you're not a Christian, you can get rid of them if you want to. You get rid of them. I don't like myself for some of the things I do. You shouldn't like yourself either. But that's the ones you want to get rid of. Then you want people to realize it. We realize now that Hannah's not smoking. She does not smell like smoke. She doesn't have a pack of cigarettes laying all over the place. What? She's changed. You say, well, I don't smoke. There's something on your list that you need to quit doing. Because there's something on my list that I need to quit doing. All right? So those of you that don't, pray for us that do. Amen? Give you something to pray about since you're perfect. Praise the Lord. But we all have our thing. And to me, that's what I was thinking about how to approach this. And I'm not getting to patience. But trying to approach it in a way that when we preach it, and let me give you an example. Brother Dale in 1982, bear with me just a minute. Brother Dale in 1982 preached on the seals. To me, that's the greatest revelation of the seven seals that's ever been since Brother Brown came on the earth. Amen? It's 60-something tapes that you ought to listen to. If you don't, we've got them somewhere. That was in 1982. Now listen, the world wasn't ready for it. The believers in the message were not ready for it. Not at that time. It was a different time. But God revealed them to him so that he could build us all a base. So that we can know what we're talking about. That we can know that the seals, it's not just a white horse rider, the red horse rider, and the black horse rider, and the fifth seals to the Jews, and the sixth seals to the two witnesses, and seventh seals. No, it's to me and you. Why would the seals be opened by a Gentile prophet if it wasn't for a Gentile church? Amen? And they were open. So in 1982, he preached them. Okay, so they went out. I'm going to read you this right here. Just a second. We'll talk about patience, and then we'll talk about it later. He had patience. Because a lot of people would have maybe preached those and said, well, bless God, nobody wanted to know here. Nobody understood. Nobody wanted to, you know, there was no response. It's just always flat. And maybe it wasn't of God. Maybe, you know, this and that and the other. And we put all of our whatevers into it. But God left it there. And then he, Brother Dale, moved on. Started preaching other things. That was 1982, folks. How many of y'all were even born in 1982? Some of you weren't even here. Boy, don't raise your hand. You weren't here in 1982. I mean on the earth. I ain't talking about in this church. Boy's like, pray for patience. Janet probably, well, never mind. I ain't going to talk about age. All right. So God preserved that, though. And this is how God works. And that's the way he works with me and you. Not just put the seals in there. Not just bringing out the revelation. But your life. There's certain things that you do and you say, man, God, I wished everybody could see this. That's what Brother Dale wished everybody could see what he saw in 1982. But it wasn't time. It wasn't time for that. So he had what? The characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings, patiently and steadfastly. What if he'd have said, that's it, I'm done. If I ain't listening to me, I'm just going to quit. That would have been 44 years ago, from 1982 till now. Sorry, Danny, 41. Look what we would have lost if he'd have just said, I ain't having patience with them. If they didn't get it the first time, I'm done with it. No, then about 1992, he preached them again. Somewhere in the 90s. Then in 2000 and something, he preached them again. Then just several years ago, he preached on them again. You know why? For me and you. He had patience. He had patience that God was going to reveal it to a group of people that had not got there yet. But he had patience that we'd get here, and I believe we're here. I believe we're here. I believe we're able to hear it. I believe we're able to not just hear it, but respond to it and build from it. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Do you know that patience, the word patience, is not even in the Old Testament? It doesn't begin until the New Testament. Look it up. Look in your concordance. The word patience didn't show up until the New Testament. Wasn't in the Old Testament. Because without the Holy Ghost, it's hard to have patience. Everybody with me? Moses didn't have any, did he? David didn't have any, did he? You look at all them people that got impatient and did the wrong thing. Steadfast waiting for it. I just put that waiting for what? Waiting for me. Waiting for you. But now, folks, I'm telling you, if you're waiting for the bus to pull up and you're at the bus station and you've got your ticket for the bus, it will be there. And you will get picked up. So I know there's a story of not having the right ticket and be at the plane. No, there is a group of people that's going to buy the right ticket at the right time. And that bus that they're supposed to get on is going to pull up. And you're going to have your ticket ready. Oh, my. How many people are... I mean, flying now is just a... I hate flying. I don't hate flying in the air. It's the getting there, getting through security. Oh. Same way with us. There's some things that we don't have patience for. But it's worth something because I wouldn't want to get on an airplane now without having to go through TSA because there's a bunch of idiots out there that want to blow planes up still. Okay? So I'll just endure that. Because actually, the next thing we're going to talk about is patience is called endurance. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Those who endure. The Bible tells us, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we'll get to something reading. We'll back up here in just a minute. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Brother Brown said, you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. We'll go through it real quick. Musicians, come on. Right here it is. Right here. I want to read this right here. Now, this is in Statue of Perfect Man. Listen. Brother Brown tells us, he's talking about having patience. But so many of us trying to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there's the trouble. We find these things happening. You know it. I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heap of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heap of ministers. What's he talking about? We're on a path. We're walking. We're doing what God said. And then here comes somebody out past the will of God. You finally meet them on the road, and they're piled up, wrecked on the side of the road because they didn't go according to God's plan. We find the scrap heap of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. And that's why I'm here this morning, to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like to be that way? Let's stand to our feet. The dwelling place of the living God. Then he talks about us being long-suffering. And that's that all that and endure. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Well, I can only make it so far. Well, is that your confession? No, I confess I'll make it to the end. I confess we all, by growing in God, we're going to make it. And God give us a provision to grow. You know, man has not come. They're so close to God. Because the requirement of us to be, as we were talking about electricians, and Elisha had to go to school. If you have a degree today, any kind of degree, it's because you went to a school, right? Right? If you have a degree in anything, some of you are trying to get one, some of you are, but is there not a requirement of things you got to do? You just don't call on the phone and say, hey, I'd like a degree in electrical work, and they send you one. Guess what? You're going to die. I will anyway, because I don't know what's hot and what's not, and I'll grab both of them, and I'll be the 440 and get a body change. But what did you do? You went to school. 12 long years. And then if you wanted to go further, you had two or four long years. And if you wanted to be a doctor, you can tack on about another 4 to 6 on top of that. Then you begin to be a doctor. Well, that's what me and you have come to a place. To be the powerhouse of God, we got to go through the curriculum. We got to do what God told us to do. We've got to become what Brother Brown told us is a powerhouse of God. Power without character, though, is satanic. This is the character. So power with this character, we know how to handle Satan when he walks up. We know how to handle God when he wants you to do something. We know how to handle our neighbor. We know how to handle everything. You say, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Well, that, see, you stopped yourself. You become an unbeliever at that time. I just believe. I just believe that we can do it. I just believe that we're going to do it. Somebody, there's going to be somebody standing in the end time and say, death, I know who you are. I know what you are. And I know you have no power over me. There's no funeral home. There's no embalming fluid. There's nothing on this earth that's going to cause me to need you. Right? Well, nobody's... Y'all get quiet. Well, then I'll be doing your funeral. One way or the other. We can be happy about what God's given us to get out of here. Bypassing death. Or we can just say, well, I'm old. I just got to die. Well, say that if you want to. Let's sing a song.
Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. Oh, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord.
Take it up and it will land, Lord, I pray that man desire will be removed from that thing and then it will be turned toward God. Turn toward his wife and his kid first, Lord, to save their marriage. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with him, Lord, and let us see the power of God working in a man's heart. We thank you for, Lord, for these things, and we thank you for our sister standing for this issue, Lord. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, do remember me, look away beyond the blue. I've got a you would be with them, Lord, if they bind together more to each other, Lord, and not away from each other. Father, I pray that you just bless her now, Lord. Touch her in her body, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Got it. Shadows, I love this life. Oh, I
being anointed to be in place where they need to be, Father. Now, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as our sister stands here, Lord, for whatever it is that she needs, Lord, that there'll be a testimony behind it, Lord, that whatever it is will be taken care of, Lord, and Lord, that our sister will also, Lord, would help her in her daily life, Father, and just bless her and be with her, Lord. Give her comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that? Do I know where they're going? Do I know where they're going? Yeah. What the? All right. Beckon me from heaven. Open door. Feel at stood for you many years, Lord. I pray that you'd stand for him today, Father. We stand with him in faith that this thing will be taken away. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you. Amen. Believe that? Okay. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And that's one thing I know. I made it up with Jesus so many years ago. No, he'll see me. Listen, he loves you. He wants us to make it. There is nothing in God that wants us to fail. He wants us to make it. He's given us provision to make it. You see all these, you know, sometimes you watch these survival shows. Well, man tries to pick up this and make a, you know, take a stick, make a bow with it and try to survive. And that's not what God did. He gave us the best to survive with. He may want us to survive, but he gave us a good tent to get in. He gave us a good Bible to read. He gave us some good tapes to listen to and some good brothers and sisters to fellowship with. I think the survival rate just went up. Amen? Think of it that way. Don't think I'm just going to survive and just... No, the survival rate just went up. Every time you get a little something extra from God, the survival rate just keeps going up, keeps going up. I hope I didn't make anybody mad. Sister Trudy, she would not ever think that I was trying to pick on her, but she's an example. She's an example that a lot of us are not. And you know what examples do? Examples make me want more, makes me strive more. To that, if she can do it, I can do it. If a lady, single lady, by herself, can drive 4 hours to listen to, you know, maybe 4 hours of preaching, 3.5 hours of preaching back then, and then turn around and go back home. It wasn't like a whole day thing. I mean, turn around and go back home. God honored that. You know why? She didn't do it because, well, I'm going to do this because I want to impress Brother Dale. That's not why she did that. She did it because she wanted to hear from the Word of God. She wanted to hear. And faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. God's put examples of people in all of our lives, every one of us, to either learn the good or the bad. All right? Well, she's been wanting to show the good. And to condemn us that are a little slack sometimes. She never was slack. And you know why? Because she had a desire in her heart to do better. Do we have a desire to do better? I have a desire to be a better Christian. If that's not inside of you, you need to hit this altar as fast as you can. If that desire, that deep call is, Lord, I want more of you, not more of this or more of the world or more money or more cars or more. I want more of God. You know what? God's got to do what he said. There's one thing about God. He's not slack, the Bible says, according to his promises. In other words, we might be a little slack. I may tell Deanna back there, look, Deanna, I'll be at your house tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock to pick you up because I want you to come spend the night with us. That really wasn't an example. I was trying to make something, you know, kind of slide something in there. But now tomorrow at 3 o'clock, something could happen, and I need to do something else. So I have to break that promise. But there's never a promise come out of God's mouth that he was not able to keep. And he will keep it. So that's the God we got to depend on. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. This time, Lord, I know the time's changed and we're a lot of that sticking in the back of our head that we've lost an hour. But, Lord, we're eternal people. We should be thinking, Lord, eternal thoughts. But until we are that, we still have, Lord, things in our body that makes us tired and sleepy. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one, Lord, that has been here, that has heard what they need to hear, that's got their portion today. I pray that we all get a portion, Lord, and that you'll feed us Wednesday night, and you'll feed us next Sunday with Brother Jack and the different ones, Lord, that come and stand behind this pulpit. Lord, I pray that you'd feed us, Father, that you'd give us our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as you told us to pray. Lord, just be with us now as we go home. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, excuse me, for tomorrow, Lord, and all of our work and whatever we do, Lord, that we'll glorify you and not the devil. And Lord, all the ones that's been prayed for, the ones that are sick, the ones that have different issues going on, Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. You provide everything. The provisions, as we said about surviving, everything to survive, the provisions already been made. You put it all in your word, and you give us some wonderful ministers that tell us how to survive. And I pray that you'd be with us now until the Wednesday night comes, Lord. Just bless each one. Keep us safe on the highways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary.